Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Peter Franz from Sensible Wine Services. How are you, Peter?
I'm very good, thank you very much, Chris.
Sensible Wine Service, I always think of you like almost cogs of the wine industry, or maybe the oil that lubricates the wine industry. Is that...
That's a very nice way to put it, yes. But, you know, most of our business is behind the scenes, making things happen for shows, tastings around the UK and into Europe. We work for all the generic bodies, set up their massive tastings.
I mean, generic bodies, are they like the trade bodies for like
the trade bodies.
Wine growers of New Zealand? And
Wines of South Africa, France, Italy, just about anybody that does tastings, especially in the UK, we seem to get involved with.
Yeah, you seem to be pretty dominant. You're always at shows that I'm at.
I love the wine trade, I love the people, so I tend to go to just about all of the tastings, meet up with old friends and have a good old chat. So it's more of a social thing and get the team to actually do all the work.
How big a team have you got?
In total, there's 14 of us full-time, and then we sort of can call on about another 25, 30 people as and when we need them around the UK, because as well as doing predominantly the business in London, we do a bit abroad. We do Vinexpo. We've just come back from a New Zealand tour in Stockholm and Hamburg. So we get around a little bit.
Sure, sure. And how does it work? We're at the wine show at the moment recording this. Mm. Do they come to you and say, look, Pete, I need you to help out? Or do the individual exhibitors come to you? Or is everybody coming to you?
It's just about everybody that comes to us. It's usually the organisers that will talk to us in the first place. And then we do sort of handle the logistics. Here at the wine show, we look after all the spittoons, the water, all the glasses are coming through from us,
There's
as well as
glasses.
Handling. There's an awful lot of glasses here. I think we've brought in something like 40,000 glasses into the event. So it's a bit of both. And then the organisers will put individual companies. We also help run stands. We've got very knowledgeable staff that can run stands for them, talk about their wines as well. So it covers all aspects of the wine trade, really.
You must have, if you've got 40,000 glasses, you must have a lot of people polishing.
A few years ago, I did this major investment and looked into glass washers, and you'd be surprised how many different ones are on the market. But we managed to find one from a company called Hobart that actually takes all the minerals out of the water and just purifies the glass. So this unit cost me, I think, about £40,000. But you don't even need to polish the glass. It goes in one end and comes out the other. The beauty, and we always say to people, please don't wash the glasses before they come back to us, because if they do, they tend to put like a residual film over the top of the glasses, and then we have to wash them about three times. So we'd rather them come back dirty, go through this magnificent machine, and come out the other side all sparkling.
Okay, is it just ISO glasses you provide?
No, we also do Riedel, and we hold the UK rights to do hire out Riedel glasses. We've got about 15,000 different glasses, everything from on Rache to Champagne, to the predominant ones that people use are the Chianti all-purpose ones. We have a stock usually of about between 8,000 and 10,000 in stock, and most of those are out nearly every week, because as well as doing shows such as this, we also supply the major restaurants when they have larger functions in London as well. So, nice little business.
Excellent. Sounds pretty good. And is business good during the recession?
The funny thing is, with the recession, everybody was talking about recession last year, and really strange, we were about 20% up on last year. But with things now biting this year, I think we'll probably be down about 10% in total, which overall state of affairs, I don't think that's a bad idea and such a bad thing. So we've just got to come out the other side and start growing again.
Sure. How did you get into the wine trade? Because you said you've been in it for a while. You've got a bit of snow on the bed.
Just a bit of the snow. I think I'm coming out going darker, coming out the other side and going the other way again now. I started in the wine trade, a little cellar boy in a place called Bedford. And it was just an advert that somebody seen. Amazingly, that's how I got into it. So I used to run this little cellar for this company called Dooney & Johnson, which is long gone nowadays. But in the cellar, there were some amazing wines that they used to supply down there. My first ever sort of bottle I ever sort of recognised was Chateau de Chem 1961. And it just got into a fascination, and all the way through my life, worked for Cash and Carry, then I worked for Augustus Barnett for nearly 20, 25 years. and 15 years ago decided to jump and start this company up together with a business partner who used to be my boss, who's since now retired, Norman. And so it's just sort of grown from there, and people keep coming up to us and saying, can you do so-and-so? So sort of look at it, think about it, and the answer is usually yes, to the dismay of my staff. But things are really good, and, you know, tastings will always happen because it's the only way to sell wine. So hopefully, long-term, we'll still be around another 15 years' time when the next generation comes through.
You do a lot of work for the International Wine Challenge. I've noticed whenever, if you look at their website, they send the wines to you almost directly, don't they?
We do for Decanter World Wine Awards, more so than the International Wine Challenge. Decanter World Wine Awards this year, I believe, overtook the International Wine Challenge with over 10,000 entries. And being a year of so-called recession and everything else wasn't a bad achievement. Now, with that, all the wines come into our warehouse, and you get 10,250 parcels. DHL queuing up at the door with thousands of parcels, which we have to then unpack, sort out into country, make sure there's no cheating going on and with the entry sheets, make sure that the vintages are correct. There's a lot of attention to detail to that. And then start putting them into flights after that. So for about 6 to 8 weeks, solid work with about 20 people in the warehouse, deciphering all these wines and then bagging them, make sure they can't, again, when they get the other end to be tasted, they don't know what they're tasting. That's quite an intense time.
Yeah, I see you guys everywhere. They got the SWS logo on. Mm-hmm. So if you see, I'm sure some of the listeners will have seen you out, maybe even some help you out.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Where do you get your stuff? Because obviously, we've actually used you guys a wee bit in some of our tastings just as support. In fact, you've even helped out
with the last one. Which is very good, actually. And amazingly, the venue that you use there, we're going to use for Washington and Oregon in January next year. So it works both ways. You helped me by finding a venue.
Yeah. Where do you get your staff from?
A lot of the staff are people that I've known over the years. And this year, we've just put another 4 people through the WSET and a couple are going on for the diploma. They tend to be keen enthusiasts. We also use a lot of people in the wine trade that have either in between jobs and one or two things. So there's always seems to be plenty of staff with wine knowledge around at the moment. So
The wine trade does have a lot of sort of freelance people, doesn't it?
It does. And also, everybody knows everybody else. It's such a friendly trade. I love being in the wine trade, and that's probably why I stuck with it all this time, because there's a lot of really, really nice people out there. Everybody from the growers that always invite us to come over and see us, to people who run the companies, to the girls in the offices. And it's just an amazing trade. And everybody wants to be in it.
That's true. I always think, though, probably the best way of making money is not to sell wine.
Exactly. We learned that a long time ago. And one of the reasons I sort of set up this side of the company instead of moving on and buying a wine shop and whatever, because the competition is so fierce out there. People like Tesco, Sainsbury's have just about screwing everybody down, unfortunately. And, but I think people have got to start now with the recession coming out, well, hopefully coming out, recession, they've got to look about making money and not just sort of vast volumes and short things, because I think too many good companies have fallen down by the wayside in the last 2 or 3 years by going down that route.
When I looked at the wine trade about, oh God, what year was it? It was about 7 years ago, and we said, right, we're going to go into the wine business. We looked at it and we thought, we don't want to sell wine because that's going to be just, the capital cost is too high and it's just too risky, and we didn't really know what we were doing. And we looked at your business, or a logistics-style business, and we thought, well, that's not bad, and that was a possibility. And I almost set up as a competitor to you at one point.
Yeah, I didn't know at the time, actually. Yeah, it's quite strange.
But do you have much competition? Because you seem to have everything sewn up.
No, there is some competition. A guy that used to work for me, he's set up on his own in a bit of competition. But that's the way of life, I suppose.
Yeah, you can't stop people from competing.
No. But, we seem to still, hopefully the level of service that we provide for people, they're more than happy with, and 99% of them are stuck with us, so still quite happy with us, hopefully.
What's your favourite show? Because you do so many.
My favourite show is Vinexpo, because the strange thing is I go down there, do it myself, and get local staff, because I know quite a few people around Bordeaux. And then do 2 days' work beforehand, have 4 days off in between. And for some unknown reason, it's always the hottest time of the year. It's reached sort of 35, 40 degrees down.
And there's no air conditioning.
Yeah.
Only in the New World stalls.
Well, there is nowadays because of all the mess-ups that we had. But, you know, I sort of get 3 or 4 days in between to play a bit of golf and enjoy it, go and visit a few chateaus, and then break down the show afterwards. So, although it's a little bit of a holiday as well as a working experience. But there's so many good shows at the moment. The wine show here, which I believe is going to move around for next year into another capacity.
Yeah, it's been bought out by the BBC.
And hopefully they'll retain it in its own right, because the quality of the people at the show, I was working on a stall last night for Debortley, and when you talk to the people, they're really enthusiastic, yeah. And you know, they want to try different wines, they want to try something different. So the quality of the customer, if they can retain that quality for the coming years, that is what they should be looking at, and trying to get people to express the different styles of wine, what it's all about, food matching like you do yourself, Chris, there. And, you know, get people more interested instead of the cheap end of the market and getting drunk and being abusive, etc.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, what would you... You must be getting close to retirement. I don't want to sound rude. Is that true?
Everybody I talked to sort of said, "Crikey, haven't you retired yet?" But while I've still got the buzz and there's good people out there that I can sort of sit and have a chat with, like poor old Oz, who's looking a bit grey around the gills today. You know, I've known Oz a long time, and we get on great and we have a little chat, talk about football and other things as well as the wine business. I'll still be carrying on, I'll still be doing it. But I've got a great team behind me. They are a really, really fantastic team that I've got. They do more and more of the work, and as they say to me, I do more and more of the chatting.
Yeah. So you're the head now, as opposed the figurehead.
And I really, as I say, it's the people in the wine trade. I think there's some amazing characters out there, some lovely, lovely people. And as long as, you know, I'm able, I'll still be at the shows.
Okay, then. Well, thanks very much, Peter. I think we'll wrap it up there.
That's great.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks very much, Chris. All the best.
Cheers.